The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for the Thunderbolts.
The terrorists are coming! The terrorists are coming! We must trash your most basic core civil liberties, and we must trash your constitution, and you must give up your privacy rights, and you must let us spend a quadrillion dollars on defense, and you must let us mass murder civilians in the Middle East, because the terrorists are coming! Be afraid! Be terrified! You must give us a blank check to do anything we want to do, because the terrorists are coming!
Hey, dude!
Yes, can I help you?
Dude, you need to chill the hell out. Over the last 15 years, there have been almost 1,000 Americans killed by medical mistakes for every single one that has been killed by a terrorist. Americans literally face about the same chance of being killed by a terrorist as they do of being struck by frigging lightning.
Well, really? Oh, well, okay, never mind.
Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids. The thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! So even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! All right. It is the fifth Friday of the month, meaning that it is time for the Thunderbolt's greatest strikes. And since you've been having to listen to so many reruns lately, then for this week's show, I'm going to truly air the best of the best of what I've done over all these years. But first, a word from our sponsor. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. But first, a few words from your discount Looking Glass outlet. E. Caveat emptor, sucker.
Yes, kids, I have spectacular news for you this week, because after decades of painstaking and exhaustive research, I have finally figured out what is wrong with the world. And never fear, my loyal listeners, yes, both of you, for I am about to reveal the secret in an explosive Thunderbolt exclusive. Kids, we have fallen through a discount looking glass.
Consider, what if you reported a crime and they threw you into jail for reporting it, while the actual criminal received a promotion? Well, that is exactly what Barack Obama has been doing to more whistleblowers than all other presidents in the country's history combined. Really? What the hell kind of looking glass is that? What if you were robbed of nearly everything you own, but when you called the police explained that the robber had subsequently lost all your money gambling in a casino, and now that in addition to your losses from the theft, you must also pay for his gambling debts? Well, that is exactly what Wall Street just did to all of us, and that was exactly the government's response. Wow, that looking glass must have some kind of nasty crap on the lens, eh? And what can you say when motherhood, the job that not only carries more responsibility than any other, but is also one of the hardest and the most demanding, receives not one duly of any squat concerning financial remuneration for their efforts, whilst arrogant, sociopathic, human-mutant hybrids who do nothing but suck our world dry receive compensation that is so over-the-top, overblown, that is quite literally insane? Jeez! This looking glass must have been manufactured by a child slave in a third world sweatshop or something. I think we should demand a refund. Now, Thunderbolt fans, I have a Thunderbolt exclusive! I was just innocently sitting in my truck on the street in front of the Westside Food Co-op the other day, when suddenly and unexpectedly, I found myself the recipient of journalistic mana from heaven! I saw a chicken crossing the road! Yes, your intrepid reporter saw opportunity and leaped. I immediately launched an investigation into that age-old question, why did the chicken cross the road? Well, kids, here's the result of my in-depth eyewitness accounting. Evidently, there is something that lives in grass that is under a fir tree that chickens like to eat. And evidently, whatever that thing is does not live in grass that is not under a fir tree. My evidence is that after crossing the road, the chicken immediately made his way to the fir tree and then slowly worked his way around the tree, busily munching on stuff that was in the grass. Then, after completing a circle around the tree, the chicken wandered off down the dead-end street and disappeared. So there you have it. The next time someone asks you why did the chicken cross the road, you now have the documentary evidence to answer their question.
As youth find their educational and economic opportunities disappearing before their very eyes, perhaps it is time to think outside the box and consider alternative educational prospects that take into account the likely financial situation young people will soon find themselves facing. There is a unique opportunity that exists that will not only provide invaluable expertise for dealing with this bewildering new world in which you find yourselves thrust, but the experience itself is guaranteed to change your entire view of life. Yes, kids, I'm talking about Club Fed. Tell me, have you ever considered how you could stretch the family budget during those lean times at the end of the month if only you knew how to pick locks and neutralize alarm systems?
perhaps you would like to know how to supplement your slave wage by cooking a little meth in your spare time. Think how handy it could be to know how to steal someone's identity and credit card numbers. Would you like to learn how to produce fire, alcoholic beverages, or lethal weapons under almost any condition or circumstance? Well, I'm happy to announce that Club Fed offers intensive graduate-level courses on all of the above subjects and many more in addition, and school is now in session. Yes, kids, in a move that reflects their genius, your government has concentrated most of the criminal masterminds throughout the entire country into confined, intensely personal spaces where they associate with no one but other criminals who have absolutely nothing to do but learn to hate the world even more than they already did and to share their trade secrets. Yes, kids, it's education by immersion. So relax, make yourself at home, slip off your cheap rubber slip-ons and loosen your chains. Just consider some of Club Fed's amenities, for instance, the menu. It's tasteless and largely inedible slop of a largely unidentifiable nature. Consider the cuisine. It exactly complements the menu. Our recreational activities include staring at walls and walking in circles. The services include 24-hour armed security, a change of bedding every few weeks. Restroom facilities, you can rest assured, are cleaned after every few hundred uses. Nature lovers, you'll be amazed at the incredible diversity of the parasitic insect population and at the proliferation of disease-bearing microorganisms. You can enjoy dull and uninteresting conversation with the ignorant and untrained staff. You can put some edge in your life by spending every minute of every day surrounded by violent psychopaths. You have to watch out for some of the other inmates, too. Or, if you prefer, you can just relax and enjoy the scenic view featuring vast expanses of pretty razor wire glittering picturesquely in the sunset, the entire scene framed by the quaint little gun towers. And in addition to all that, you automatically become part of the prison industrial complex, which is the fastest growing industry in the United States. And best of all, I saved the best for last for you kids, there are neither women, nor children, nor any normal social interaction of any kind to distract you from your studies. You have all the time you need to devote to the learning the fine arts of thievery, corruption, and mayhem. Yes, kids, come learn from the masters. Act now to take advantage of this special offer. Club Fed, it's a stop that you'll never forget. Thousands of positions are available immediately. I need to issue an official Thunderbolt apology. Last year, I was innocently hanging out in my truck in front of the Westside Food Co-op when I stumbled over what I considered at the time to be journalistic manna from heaven. Yes, I spotted a chicken crossing the road.
and I immediately launched into a full and in-depth investigation to determine once and for all the age-old question. Why did the chicken cross the road? Now, while I did indeed discover the chicken's rather innocuous secret, upon publishing the information, I immediately received harsh criticisms from listeners for doing this. In fact, one listener responded thusly: I long to live in a world where a chicken can cross a road without having its motives questioned. And after deep self-reflection on my part, I realized that this criticism was fully merited. Yes, I found myself wondering how I would react were some giant omnipotent being to suddenly begin intensely scrutinizing a very personal act in my very personal life in order to splash my activities all over the World Wide Web. I also found myself wondering what the chicken would have felt about me hovering around watching its every move had it known that I had eaten a chicken breast from the deli at Fred Meyer just the day before. Therefore, I officially apologize to the species G. gallus of the genus Gallus of the subfamily Phasianae of the family Phasianidae of the order Galliformes of the class Aves of the phylum Chordata of the kingdom Animalia. May you cross many roads before that great final crossing into chicken heaven. Or a bucket at Colonel Sanders, as the case may be. Since only rich kids can afford to go to college now, then as a public service, the Thunderbolt recently advised college-age youth of the educational opportunities available to them through the federal prison system. Yes, where they can learn the skills they will need to survive in this brave new world order. But then, suddenly, I realized that we must think of the children. And thus, in the Thunderbolts' dedication to public service and to educating the kids, I am proud to announce the first airing of a new Thunderbolt feature that will be aimed at the little people. Yes, kids, the Thunderbolt feels that children should be prepared for the actual world that they will actually be facing. Thus, the Thunderbolt feels that kids are never too young to learn about genocidal slaughter and rape and drugs. And I'm here to tell you, kids, that you need to immediately forget nearly everything that they taught you in school and just listen to old Uncle Dana as he tells you how the world really works. Yes, kids. And this is a segment that I am calling
Poppy Seeds.
I'm about to rock out, so you better look out.
I've been in a wasted days, been climbing up the walls all day, and so now I'm on my way to where the drugs are cheap. Well, can you tell me how to get to Poppy Seed Street?
Yeah, man, I can hook you up. What you need?
Yippee!
When I've been smoking crack all day, then everything is A-okay. And I've got a homicidal neighbor there, and that's where we meet. Well, can you tell me how to get to Poppy Seed Street?
I'm gonna fuck you up, bitch.
Hey, dude, just chill out, yeah. We're puking on their magic carpet ride. And every jail cell will open wide for strung out people like you
I strung up people like, oh, what a hazy
wasted days. Been climbing up the walls all day. And so now I'm on my way to where the drugs are cheap. Well, can you tell me how to get?
Well, how to get to
Poppy Seed Street?
Yippee!
Hey man, I'm hurting bad and I really need to get to Poppy Seed Street. Can you please help me out here?
Hey, you got my money, biatch? This ain't no Sesame Street game we playing here. You in the hood now, punk.
Poppy Seed Street, Lesson 1. Hello, kids. Welcome to Poppy Seed Street. Now, our very first lesson is going to be about capitalism. Can you say capitalism? Now, capitalism is the system under which we live, and it is very, very important that you learn the rules. So pay close attention today, okay, kids?
The hare has lost his spectacles.
That's just his problem. Now, capitalism is very famous as a parasite that consumes its host. Capitalism is made up of predators and prey, or you might want to call them winners and losers. The winners get to own more than 1,000 families could possibly spend in 1,000 lifetimes, and they get to live in decadent luxury, while the losers often can't even feed their own children, and they often live in poisonous, crime-ridden hellholes. And thus, as long as capitalism reigns, you definitely want to be a winner rather than a loser. The reality is that each predator requires lots and lots of prey, and so there are lots and lots and lots of losers. Well, I'm afraid that there are not very many winners at all, kids, so you need to take measures. Now, under capitalism, those who rise to the top are those who are the most ruthless and cutthroat, so I'm afraid that nice people don't fare so well here, kids. So you really, really, really need to forget all those things they taught you in kindergarten about being fair and about playing nice and about sharing and about not slicing people's throats open, because all of that being nice and being fair stuff is strictly for the losers. Now, the best way to be a winner is to be born into a wealthy white family. If you were so fortunate, then congratulations! Against seemingly impossible odds, you won the sperm lottery. However, even if you weren't born into a wealthy white family, there have been many cases of people rising from the bottom to achieve the pinnacles of success. And as our current president demonstrates, you don't even have to be white anymore. So now brutal exploitation is an equal opportunity field, and all that is required is a level of ambition indicating serious psychological derangement and a willingness to sell your soul to the devil. See, it's easy, kids. Souls are just for losers anyway. Under capitalism, the best way to claw yourself to the top of the hill is to kill lots and lots and lots of people. I know this sounds like a lot of trouble and bother, and maybe it's not very nice, but that's just the way it works under capitalism. And if you want to be a winner, then that's just what you need to do, kids. Another requirement for reaching the top of the heap and winning the game, whatever that means, is that you must become very, very rich. And in order to become very, very rich, you will need to steal lots and lots of money. But you must be very careful, because if you don't steal enough money, then you might go to jail.
See, the trick is to steal enough money that you can buy yourself a government. Then you can steal to your heart's content with no fear of suffering anything as distasteful as being arrested. Plus, when you own a government, then even if you lose all your money, then you can get your pet government to make the losers pay for that too. So you see, when you run the game, the rules are heads you win and tails everybody else loses. You can't beat it, literally. Now, if you're in a really, really hurry to become very, very rich and make lots and lots of money, then the trick is to buy lots and lots of those pretty poppy flowers. And that is, in fact, why I called this segment Poppy Seed Street. Yes, kids, thanks to the ingenious war on drugs, illicit drugs have become the biggest and baddest business on the whole entire world. This little innocent, pretty easy to grow flower can be processed into some of the most popular illicit drugs that there are, and then you can make a fortune! And I'm afraid that's all for Poppy Seed Street this week, kids. But don't be sad, because you can tune in next week when we will learn how to overthrow third world governments and assassinate labor leaders. Yippee! Won't you be my neighbor?
And we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of KHUH-FM, nor anyone that has anything to do with KHUH-FM. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. All right. And welcome back to the Thunderbolt's Greatest Strikes. For the first half of the show, I played my personal favorites I've recorded over the years, and now for the second half, I will play what, judging from listener feedback, was my listener's favorite Thunderbolt. Enjoy. This is the legend of Erraticus. I recently poked gentle fun at people who suffer ophidiophobia, or a fear of snakes. I did this as I forced them to consider the reality of a snake that can glide through the air as it hunts its prey. Now, this was not gratuitous. I have found that once people learn more about a species, then they tend to think more highly of them. And as far as flying snakes goes, who was the first snake to even come up with that idea? And how many tries did it take before the first snake worked it out? Now that takes determination. Well, the Thunderbolt is once again going to mine the treasures of Mother Nature this week. For over the last couple of months, I have received some serious schooling from a rat. Now, I moved into a little 100-square-foot plastic house inside my daughter's garage just before Christmas. For the first month, I thought that I was sharing the garage with both a mouse and a mole. The mole theory came about when a friend said that she had seen a mole coming out of a hole right next to the garage, and the only glimpse that I had ever had of my roommate was a very brief glimpse of its ass as it disappeared into a crack. Now, I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was a lot bigger than a mouse.
And also, since it once carried away an entire loaf of bread, then I knew no mouse could do that. And so, it took me almost a month to figure out that I was, instead, living with a rather large rat. Now, the fact that it took me a month of living in very close quarters with him before even figuring out what he was is itself a clue as to what I was dealing with here. Now, I lived in a school bus for 28 years, and mice used to set up housekeeping in my school bus with fair regularity. But all I needed to do was to set out a 5-gallon bucket with some peanut butter in the bottom at night. The mice would go into the bucket for the peanut butter, and then they were unable to get back out. I'd get up in the morning and take them wherever I thought they might be able to get by, and I would dump them out. And I wouldn't even mind living with mice if they would just stop crapping all over my dishes and my food. However, I have never before lived with a rat. Therefore, I have no gauge with which to measure the level of intelligence that the rat species possesses as a whole. But as for this particular rat, if he is any indication of typical rat intelligence, then I am surprised they haven't taken over the world. I began serious attempts at eviction when he started chewing on my Bose speaker wires, and thus began an epic battle of wits with the creature that has now lasted for nearly 2 months. And I must now admit that this battle has turned out to be like Wile E. Coyote trying to catch the Roadrunner. Not only that, but I must now admit defeat. The rat has won. Not only that, but he has also won my admiration and respect. And I now officially surrender. I'm going to start feeding him just to try to keep him out of my other stuff. So here's a brief synopsis of the critical events in this epic tale. The peanut butter in the bucket trick did not work. Upon awakening, I found the bucket free of both peanut butter and rodents. Next, I tied a piece of cheese to a stick that was itself rather precariously holding up a box that would fall if the stick was disturbed in any manner. The next morning, everything was just as I left it, including the rope leading to the little slip knot that had been tied to the cheese, except the cheese was gone. Now, still thinking I was dealing with a mouse, I went to the hardware store and I bought a small plastic tray filled with a sticky substance. You place the bait in the middle of the tray, and in theory, the mouse gets stuck. Now, while this trick did not work either, it did provide me with my first opportunity to actually see my foe in the fur. For upon hearing a commotion and investigating the matter, rather than espying a cute little mouse stuck in a plastic tray, I saw instead a rather large rat walking around, barely inconvenienced by the little plastic tray that was stuck to his foot. As soon as I appeared, the rat ran into a crack. Now, the plastic tray would not fit into the crack, and he briefly got stuck, and I moved in to grab him. But the edges of the crack provided the leverage that the rat needed to pull his foot out of the tray, whereupon he disappeared with great alacrity into the wild, unknown mazes contained within the mountain of boxes that reside inside my daughter's garage. So I went back to the hardware store, and I learned that there was also a rat version of the same idea with a much larger tray and much more glue. The next morning, I found the tray lying next to the nearest crack, and the only thing left in the tray was the rat's little paw prints. So next, I tried a combination hat trick. I set the sticky tray under a box that was precariously balancing on a stick. Now, since I knew that the rat needed leverage to get the tray off, then I figured there was no way he could get that big plastic tray out from under the box without hitting the stick and thus knocking the box down. But alas, the next morning, my box was still propped up, but the tray was lying empty next to the nearest crack. I measured the clearances, and there was barely room to slide the tray from under the box without hitting the stick. It was almost as if the rat understood what the stick was for. That was it. I was out of ideas. The only choice I saw now was to deploy lethal means. I really didn't want to, and I felt really bad about it, but chewing my speaker wires is completely unacceptable behavior in a roommate, and I wasn't going to sacrifice a $250 speaker system purchased back in the days when I had disposable income, which days seem unlikely ever to return. I wasn't going to sacrifice that for a frigging rat, no matter how smart he was.
Go!
So I went to the hardware store, and I purchased the extra jumbo rat-sized snap trap with the deadly spring-loaded bar that usually catches them right across the neck, killing them instantly. The next day, I set the trap. About an hour later, I heard a snap. I went out into the garage and saw the trap with a seemingly dead rat attached. But then, to my great consternation, the rat wiggled around for a couple of seconds and went still again.
Ooh-yah! Ooh-yah!
Crap. Yeah, I moved in and saw that Raticus. Yes, Sherry named him when she heard the story. Had almost gotten away with it again. In fact, I discovered that Raticus had lost, literally, by a nose. In fact, I am afraid that Raticus has lost his nose. He wiggled again when he saw me, but he went still as I slid a piece of cardboard under him. Keeping one hand on the trap to make absolutely sure that he couldn't get away, I took him two blocks away to the back of a very large schoolyard with several houses and garages nearby. When I released him from the trap, he just lay there. I left. It was raining. I felt really bad. I wondered about the survival odds for a rat without a nose. So I went back 10 minutes later to check on him, and he was gone. I felt lost. There was an empty space in the garage now. I began recalling now fond memories of Raticus's genius at making me look like an idiot.
All along me I see wastes that a face is smiling in the gloom.
But then the rat came back.
Roll up, roll down, feeling unwound, step into the viewing room.
I saw the telltale curtain wiggle that happens whenever he uses one of his pathways behind my desk.
And the rest were all around. We've got you taped, you're in the play. Here's your ID, ideal for identifying one and all.
The peanut butter I set out was gone within minutes.
Invest your life in the memory bank, ours the interest, and we thank you.
Wow. He crossed two streets and ran a gauntlet of cats to get back here.
The ice cream lady went across to see you in the passion place.
I am done. I bow in true respect before my better, and I offer to him my sword in unconditional surrender. Yes, kids, me and Raticus are now buds. I'm moving out of here at the end of the month anyway, so Raticus is welcome to it. Raticus is much quieter and much less active now. He has been through a traumatic experience, and he is seriously injured. He is probably crippled for life. His sacrifice, though, has taught me some important things about the sanctity of life. And I hope he is now teaching some of you some important things about similar things. I don't think there are very many rats who have ever accomplished that feat. At least then, Radicus did not lose his nose completely in vain, says I in a transparent attempt at assuaging guilt. Radicus just had some organic peanut butter for breakfast. I honestly wish him the best. Sorry about the nose, dude. Just please quit chewing on my speaker wires.
That's it for the news and commentary section. For Seattle listeners, I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music now. And this week, I'm going to feature some local Olympia artists. This is Kimya Dawson. Enjoy.
Conspiracy theorist, but I read blogs by scientists and I believe they know more than we are being told by the mainstream media. Sources want the truth to hold its horses so there isn't mass hysteria as the seafloor erodes and those in and on the ocean all say, hey, what's this commotion, and try to get away. They are moving in slow motion cause their bodies are so heavy from substance thick and deadly. They say, I don't wanna die. It's all your fault, I wasn't ready, and I'm sorry, and I'm scared and sad and mad and unprepared to see the stuff that's in the sea evaporate into the air, where it will gather and form clouds that travel north upon the wind, drop its cool, refreshing poison raindrops on our crops and children. And maybe it's the end, I always thought the end of man would be exactly what we need for the earth to stand a chance. I always thought that I'd be fine if this happened in my lifetime. Now that I'm a mother, it is really terrifying. I've always identified with the turtle soft insides because there are times when I really need to hide. But even the strongest, toughest, thickest shell is not designed to survive, to survive, to survive. Something of this magnitude. Because water is fluid and oil is crude. And it billows way down deep and it sticks to grains of sand. And it floats up on the surface where the birds all try to land. And it's ruining the marshes, ecosystems are destroyed. And the people all along the Gulf Coast are now unemployed. While the men who cut the corner still scream drill, drill, drill from their yachts far away. And their mansions on the hill. And they turn away the cameras and scream kill, kill, kill as they burn endangered sea turtles alive. They're burning turtles alive. And the seas are all connected, and we are all connected, and you're living in denial if you think you won't be affected. You can't hide behind your flag because water knows no border. It'll creep in every crevice, it'll seep in every pore. They lie about the damage, the solutions are illusions. There's no cover-up big enough to hide this huge a contusion on the face of our mother. Yeah, that's right, Mother Earth is the cost of every living thing. What your product is worth. We The industry's the master, and we are all the slaves, and we're driving, driving, driving to our graves, graves, graves. The industry's the master, we are all the slaves, and we're driving, driving, driving to our graves, 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 graves. So we must teach our kids to love themselves and let them live their lives. What will they be if they grow up whatever they like? It's crucial to raise children who will do what they're told, who will fight for what's right, and who can't be bought or sold. I want nothing of this business, I'm staying underground. I'm gonna ride the railroad and let my guard down. We can forage and ride bikes, jump in lakes, go on hikes. We can sing and sing for hours and click like. When somebody posts something good, we share and spread the truth. It's time to define what success means to you. I hope my kid will never be another cog in their machine, trapped inside a box trying to remember her dreams. They'll sell us all out for their greed, 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 as we cry for the earth while she bleeds, 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 bleeds. So hold on to your loved ones, hold on for dear life. Try to walk like thunder, leaving footprints that are light. Hold on to your loved ones, hold on for dear life. Try to walk like thunder, leaving footprints that are light. Hold on to your loved ones, hold on for dear life. Try to walk like thunder, leaving footprints that are light. Hold on to your loved ones, hold on for dear life. And try to walk like thunder, that are light. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I read blogs by scientists, and I believe they know more than we are being told by the mainstream media sources. Want the truth to hold its horses so there isn't mass hysteria as the seafloor erodes, and those in and on the ocean all say, hey, what's this commotion? And they try to get away. They are moving in slow motion, cause their bodies are so heavy from substance thick and deadly. They say, I don't wanna die, it's all your fault, I wasn't ready.
Be ready! The bounty hunter is out tonight. There's a price on your head. He don't care. We're alive and
right. That was Bounty Hunter from Stuntman Mike. Before that, we had Driving, Driving, Driving from Kimya Dawson, both of whom happen to be local Olympia artists. And that's it for the Thunderbolt this week, except for the bonus tip of the day. Are you ready? If you have a rodent infestation, always remember that rats are people too. Peace. We'll see you next week.
The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day.
And a quick note here, the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.